KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde. Your mom despises turkey. Your uncle hates ham. Your brother's a vegan and your sister is allergic to pumpkin pie. So what do you do about the picky eaters and people with dietary restrictions at Thanksgiving? Lynn Rosetta Casper, The Splendid Table, is with us. She's a food writer and host of The Splendid Table, which you can hear every Sunday at 3 p.m. on KUOW. Thanks so much for joining us, Lynn.
It's great to be with you.
Listeners, if you've got stories about picky eaters at Thanksgiving, give us a call. The number is 206-543-5869. Or if you've got strategies for dealing with different tastes and dietary restrictions at your Thanksgiving table, give us a call toll-free 1-800-289-5869. You can email us at conversation@kuow.org. So, Lynn, I wanted to ask right off the bat how much time you personally spend menu planning around individual tastes.
A bit of time, because what I've found is that although most of the people we know, you know, really like to eat, they've got preferences or they have things they really can't eat. I have a friend who has great difficulty with gluten, and to the point where it can make her ill. And then there are people, you know, who have dietary restrictions or just don't like something or feel philosophically or politically that they really don't want to eat it. And there's kind of a limit of, you know, there's a funny, there's a kind of dichotomy here. On one hand, if ever there's a holiday where you kind of hope that every guest will not be taking some sort of stand, it's this one. The other side of it is that if you really can't eat something or you really don't like something, it's not a bad idea to tell the host ahead of time and let them know and say, you know what, I can bring something I know I'll enjoy, and I'd be delighted to do that because I don't really want to put this all on your shoulders. And that's really a great way of dealing with it. But I think a lot about it. So I have dishes that generally please a lot of people. And then I think about the special needs. Like, for instance, I love chilies. But I have a couple of friends who are super tasters, meaning they are incredibly sensitized to taste, and you feed them a chili and it's painful for them. So I have to kind of step back on the chilies.
Lynn Rosetta Casper is a food writer and the host of The Splendid Table. If you've got questions for her about, especially about how to deal with different dietary issues at the Thanksgiving table, the number here is 206-543-5869. Lynn Rosetta Casper, what's an example of a dish that you're serving this year that, you know, appeals to those friends of yours with individual tastes, but would also appeal to other folks?
Well, going back to the idea of almost everybody likes mashed potatoes. And for friends who are vegan, meaning they don't want anything that comes from an animal, I do the potatoes. First of all, I use new potatoes, you know, the red skin potatoes, because they're really waxy and they have a sweet undertone. They have fabulous flavor. And what I do is I slowly braise cut up garlic in a bit of olive oil with salt and pepper and maybe some fresh thyme. So instead of butter, that goes into these really moist potatoes. They're naturally moist. Those I do ahead. But what I do also is I will take portobello mushrooms and cut them into chunks, and then I'll brown those, and I'll do that in a bit of olive oil, again with some sage and a bit of just a little bit of garlic, and then pour some red wine over that and let it boil down to nothing and scrape up all the brown bits in the pan. And that, along with toasted walnuts, that goes into the center. And what I do is there's a casserole, a very shallow one, so it heats up fast. There's a layer of the mashed potatoes. You could do a layer, by the way, of sautéed greens in there. But there's a layer of mashed potatoes, a layer of this meaty, delicious mushroom mixture, and then another layer of mashed potatoes on the top. And then what you can do is you can take a little bit of olive oil and mix in a good amount of black pepper and just zigzag that over the top. And then when the turkey comes out of the oven, this casserole goes into the oven for maybe 30 minutes while the turkey's resting. and it comes out bubbly and delicious, and nobody knows what's in the center. But that could just about be a main dish if you've decided you're not going to eat meat. So that's one of my takes on it. And then another one is the idea that, you know, if you want to make a dish that has absolutely no meat in it, but it looks sensational and it tastes sensational, so it's not like you feel like you're getting all the dregs, you would do a curry of something like golden squash and green beans and ginger, and you could do that all ahead. You can make yellow rice ahead, and then what you do is heat those up in the oven in separate containers, and then you make a bed of that rice on a platter, and you heap this green and orange wonderful kind of curry, which doesn't have to be spicy, on it. And that's another dish that is essentially wonderful, filling, delicious. Everybody will love it. But if somebody's decided they're not going to be eating meat, they'll be fine.
Lynn Rosetta Casper is with us. She's the host of The Splendid Table. And if you've got questions for her about how to deal with dietary differences at your Thanksgiving table, the number to call, 206-543-5869. Lynn, how often do you spend, basically doing the same version or two different versions of the same dish?
Well, you know, quite frankly, I don't have the time to do it. And so often what I'll do is exactly what I've just described. I'll just do one version. And I figure for the people who really have restrictions or really prefer not to eat, the meat or whatever it may be, they don't like anything green or red or whatever, they'll be happy. But it usually tastes so good, everybody's going to be happy. So that becomes the mashed potatoes, you know, or that becomes a really splashy vegetable side. But there is a flip side to this. I think, you know, it goes back to when we were kids, when we used food as a weapon. The idea that you did two things to really try to maintain control as a little one. And one was, you know, you'd hold your breath until you turned blue. And the other thing was that you refused to eat certain things that your parents wanted you to eat. And I think especially in settings that are stressful or settings that set people on edge, which sometimes can be Thanksgiving, food becomes that thing that we use to say, I never eat that, or I why did you make it, kind of thing. And I guess what I really want to say to people who don't like the thought that they do that, but maybe they do, suck it up. You know, it's one day out of the year, and unless it's going to do you harm or it really goes against your beliefs, take a taste and keep your mouth shut. Be charming in other ways. You know, talk, take some social responsibility. Be entertaining, because I've seen this happen, and, you know, we're all human, but enough already with the food and I never eat this and how could you ever do this and all of that. And this is not the time to tell anybody their turkey is dry.
Lynn Rosetta Casper is with us. She's the host of The Splendid Table. We're talking about menu ideas, but also the philosophy of different tastes, different restrictions, dietary restrictions at the Thanksgiving table. And Lynn Rosetta Casper, one perspective that I sometimes hear and we heard from listeners on this topic is, look, I'm just going to cook whatever it is that I want to cook, and hopefully everyone's going to find something that they like to eat. What's your take on that, you know, setting aside people that have serious dietary problems, like, say, nut allergies?
I go a little bit further than that if I can. You know, in the sense that I know my husband doesn't feel it's Thanksgiving without stuffing. So I'll go out of my way to make a stuffing I know he likes. I have, as I said earlier, a friend who really can't eat chilies, and I know there are certain dishes she doesn't get a lot of pleasure out of, so I'll try to make something she really likes. But when you have 20 people at the table, you just can't do that. And there is that point. The cutoff point is I've made an effort. I've made one dish. I always make one dish that will make people who have preferred not to eat meat very happy, because a lot of our friends are looking at that now. And I always make one dish that is pretty neutral, that if you don't like involved flavors or whatever, you're going to really enjoy that dish. And after that, you know, it's one meal out of the year. I'd love to have everybody have a good time, but the real good time is getting around the table together, as schmaltzy as that might sound.
You know, and I wonder about that. I mean, how much do you think it changes the sort of communal nature of the table, of breaking bread together, you know, when some people just can't eat wheat?
I think there's a case where you really have to, this is a case where people can become quite ill. And now, there are so many vegetables that don't involve gluten that you could skip the bread and you could just say, I'm not going to eat the stuffing. And you could have a great time. Don't you think? I mean, David, don't you think that when you go to someone's home, there's something you really can't eat? You know, there's usually a way to get around it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in my case, actually, I'm going to be going to Thanksgiving with a friend of mine who has a family tradition of undercooking the turkey. And I'm talking, you know, mostly the legs and the thighs. The breast is pretty well cooked. But I'm the picky eater in that case because I just don't want to eat it at all. You got any advice for me?
Okay. There's one that's really tricky because the juices from that undercooked part of the turkey can be tricky as well. But you do know, you know, a turkey can be fully cooked and the joints can still be slightly pink.
This may be. It may require an intervention. I'm not actually sure.
You know, this is what I would do between me and thee. I would arrive with an instant reading thermometer, you know, one of those things with just a long prong. And when nobody's looking and the turkey is sitting there in the kitchen, I'd just stick that in the thickest part of the thigh. And if it's around 155, 160, which is kind of low, but most harmful bacteria is knocked out at about 140.
Good advice. Lynn Rosetta Casper is with us. She's the host of The Splendid Table, which airs every Sunday at 3 p.m. on KUOW. And I want to ask about vegans and specifically vegan desserts, because it seems like that can be tricky. What are some examples of dishes that you might serve in that case?
Well, one of the things that is something that's really delicious is to take, there's a couple of pound cake recipes you can find online that are done with olive oil. And or oil. I mean, think about your basic carrot cake, for instance. That's an oil-based cake. And there's a lot of different cakes now. That, you know, they're Italian, they're Spanish or whatever, that you're finding more and more of that are done with olive oil. They're delicious. They usually have citrus in them or whatever. And those make wonderful desserts. And you can always work into them some roasted, pureed sweet squash like butternut or pumpkin. And you end up with a pumpkin bread. And that's pretty basic stuff. It's delicious. You can spice it however you want. And you have no dairy products. You have no animal products in it. The other thing is there are recipes for pie crust done without any kind of animal product. And olive oil crust can really be fabulous. And one of the tricks there is that you use the same amount of olive oil as you would butter. You use a very mild oil. And you spice up the crust. Like if it's for an apple pie, for instance, you add some cinnamon to it, and you add a bit of sugar. And it's really delicious.
Mm.
So, you know, that can cover you right there. So you just think in terms of, and then there are some what I think of as fake, but they're not. I mean, they're imitating shortening, hydrogenated shortening, but they're not hydrogenated, and they are completely animal-free. And those can make your pie crust, too.
Lynn Rosetta Casper is the host of The Splendid Table, and she's with us answering your questions, if you've got them, at 206-543-5869 about Thanksgiving. I wanted to, just sticking with the subject of vegans for a minute, what are some savory dishes that are vegan dishes that you think are just awesome and that you would really want to or going to be having at your Thanksgiving table this year?
Well, the curry of squash and green beans mm-hmm. and fresh ginger is one of the things that I love because I make it quite mild. I do it with sautéed ginger and a bit of garlic and onion. And then what goes into it essentially is a bit of tomato. And then you have, you know, the spices. You would do coriander and a bit of cumin. And you would have a little bit of chili, cinnamon, allspice, that kind of thing. And or cardamom, and then that just simmers, and that's what you cook chunks of you know, butternut squash or any other squash you like, and whole green beans. And this is fabulous. And then you bake the rice instead of, you can boil it like pasta, which is the easiest way to do it. But when you heat it up, you bake it just sealed, you know, with some foil. And if you bake it with pistachios and cinnamon sticks, it perfumes all of the rice. So that's one great favorite for me. Another one that I love to do, I like to put things in a crust because anything you put in a crust looks really festive. And this is something I've done for years, and I kind of call it a golden celebration pie. So So today I would roast up a whole bunch of vegetables, a whole variety of vegetables, and I would season them in some unexpected ways. For instance, I'd do orange zest with olives and capers and a lot of onion, and would be a mess of vegetables. And that gets roasted up, and then what I would do is make a whole wheat pie crust with a bit of sugar in it, and instead of water, I do it with white wine. And I roll out two big sheets of that. And then tomorrow, what I do is I just put those sheets on cookie sheets, on pieces of foil in the fridge so they can chill overnight. And then tomorrow, I take something like a pizza pan or a cookie sheet, and I lay, and I, you know, butter it or oil it, and then I lay one of the sheets of dough on that. I heap the vegetables on it, and then cover it with the other sheet, and then crimp it all around so it becomes this big, shallow, round wheel of a pie. It is fabulous, and people just love it. And you brush it with a little olive oil and sprinkle it with coarse salt, so you get a slightly sweet, salty crust. And when you cut into it, you bake it off when the turkey comes out of the oven at about 400 degrees. It needs only about a half an hour. It is just wonderful, and everybody just thinks you've gone to all kinds of trouble, which maybe you have, but it really goes an awfully long way. You know, it's these do one or two really spectacular things that make people feel really, really special, and you're off and running.
All right, Lynn Robiceta-Casper, I just have time for one question, and that is, we've been sort of framing this in the negative, but I'm wondering about, you know, Thanksgiving as an opportunity, say for kids, say for adults, to try something that they've never eaten before. What's your approach when you're dealing with a kid trying to get them to try something new?
Well, first of all, involve them in making it. That's one of the biggest things. And involve the kid in the decision, too. Of, you know, we're going to do a dish that comes from North Africa. And, you know, let's find out what we can about this dish and what is it like to be in Morocco? And what would it be like if you were growing up in Morocco? And then have them help. You know, a child can, even a little one, can stir a bowl, can toss with their hands. So get them involved and make it their dish. And generally that works. And also, what's great about it is they're beginning to get the idea that this can really be a lot of fun, this thing called cooking. I know that's really preachy, but the reality is it works.
All right. Thanks for that, and thanks so much for all of your menu tips and other advice, Lynn Robiceta-Casper.
Thank you, and have a great holiday.
You too. You can hear Lynn Robiceta-Casper every Sunday at 3 p.m. on The Splendid Table on KUOW. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.